From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. We have another fantastic show for you to end the week on this September 20th, 2013. Yes, TGIF. Already, folks. Again, don't forget that you can be a part of Current Sports each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. by liking Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports. Follow me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, and even give us a call right here at the station, 517-355-9527. Again, since today is Friday, we are taking your predictions on the upcoming football action taking place this weekend. Michigan State plays Notre Dame at 3:30 p.m. tomorrow, while Michigan takes on Connecticut at 8 p.m. Then on Sunday, of course, you have NFL action all day. The Detroit Lions will take on the Washington Redskins at 1 on Sunday. Give us your thoughts and predictions on any of those games. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Give us your thoughts. Give us a call. How do you think Connor Cook's going to play? Give us any prediction that you have on any three of those games or on any game that you see this weekend. Let us know what you think about it. Tons of football action. I can't wait. And hopefully this weekend will be better for my current sports fantasy team, because I tell you what, folks, I am in dead last right now. Yes, dead last. The standings go like this. DeAndre Carter is in first place. Matt is in second place. Mike, our former intern here, is in third. Alex, he's holding down the fourth spot. Aaron, yes, Aaron's beating me in the fifth spot. And yes, allowing no wins. Yes, I am in dead last. That's terrible. I'm 0-1. I only have 78 points. Man, hopefully, we'll see. I'm playing Aaron this weekend. And right now, we're pretty close in the projected standings. We'll see how things turned out. I got to make some moves, though. I want to make a few more moves after I get off the show. Anyway, all right, enough of fantasy football. I want to thank everyone that tuned into Current Sports TV last night. It was certainly a great time. For those that missed it, I sat down with Morris Peterson. Morris is one of the newest members of the MSU Athletics Hall of Fame. Of course, a pivotal player during that 2000 championship year for the MSU basketball team. Went on to play 11 years. Yes, 11 years in the NBA. And for those of you that missed last night's episode, don't fret. We got you back. I first asked Mo P about the alarming numbers when it comes to professional athletes going broke. If you look at it, did you guys know that in 2009, 78% of NFL players were found to be bankrupt or experiencing serious financial stress within 2 years of ending their playing careers? And that 60% of NBA players are broke within 5 years of retiring from the game. Stunning numbers, and these numbers have continued to rise year after year. Alarming stuff. Now, Mo P, as stated before, played 11 years in the NBA and saw this epidemic firsthand. I first asked him if he was surprised at all to hear these alarming numbers.
It did. It surprised me. You know, it rings an alarm, especially when I was first, you know, starting the NBA. You hear a lot of these stories and you say, I don't want to be that player who loses money. And I think one thing I did was, you know, I went to my parents and, you know, got a lot of money. You know, what do I need to do in order to make sure nobody's taking it from me? And one thing we did was make sure we got, instead of monthly reports, we get reports every 2 weeks. So when our check come in, we know what's going out. Everything is itemized. Just doing little things and just staying on top of it, because I know you have so much going on, and but you have to have someone else that you can trust that's in your corner, that's watching. And that's how you know, I've done it.
Now, you've seen this firsthand. Again, you were in the NBA. You played with guys who were getting paid millions, also yourself. Now, what mistakes did you see these players make when you were in the NBA? What mistakes do they make?
Big entourages, you know, paying for dinner all the time, you know, buying their friends cars. I've seen it all. I've seen a lot of guys, you know. And I know you want to take care of everybody, take care of your family, and make sure they're good, but, you know, when you're in a process that you make a lot of money, you get people coming at you all the time. And hey, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, I need $2,000 for, you know, for my car, you know, and if you did that to everybody, you would be broke. And I think you just have to look at, you know, your family and understand, you know, what needs to be done and how you need to keep your money.
Now, I can imagine a lot of people come out the woodworks, especially a guy like you who goes to the NBA, you know, drafted, you know, you're making a lot of money. I'm pretty sure you probably had a lot of people coming out the woodwork saying, hey, Mo, what's up, man? Can I get some change here and there? How did you deal with that?
Well, you know what? I don't want to tell you all of it. No, I mean, you know what? I mean, you answer the phone and you just have to hope that you have keep the people around you that have your best interests and not going to call you to ask you for money all the time.
Gotcha.
That's what I try to do.
Now, for athletes out there watching this show and, you know, possibly NBA picks or possibly going to the NFL, whatever professional sport they're playing, what advice would you give them on how to manage their money once they make it to that level?
Well, you just find someone you can trust. I think that's the biggest thing because a lot of times you put your trust in someone who, you know, has their hand on your money. But you can put a trust in your, you know, you can get a trust. It's a thing called a trust. And you put your money in there, and whenever you need it, you can take it out. As opposed to some people get financial advisors who invest your money, and some sometimes they lose it, sometimes they get money for you. But you can control how much that they get. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys let them control it from day one. As opposed to taking this money and saying, hey, what can you do with this little bit of money that I have? What can you do? How can you help that grow? And that's what I did, as opposed to letting them just take all my money and invest it in stocks and bonds and things like that.
Right. And you guys, once rookies are drafted into the NBA or whatever league, I mean, they have seminars on how to deal with that, right? How to manage their money, too.
Yes, they do. The NBA has a great program called the Rookie Transition Program. Every rookie has to go through it, and it's extensive hours of what you're going to deal with financially or career-wise and how to handle it. And, you know, anything you need, they have it. So I don't think it should be an excuse. A lot of time, guys, it's just a matter of guys not reaching out to figure out what they need to do.
Gotcha. All right, Mo, let's switch gears now. Now, you just received a pretty, pretty big honor. Wow. Mo P, inducted into the Michigan State University Athletics Hall of Fame. Give it up for that. Hall of Fame. I'm sitting next to a Hall of Famer. Wow, I got to pitch myself. Now, you were inducted. With that class came hockey stars Ryan and Kip Miller, the Miller cousins. Volleyball great Jenna Roble. She's unbelievable. Football great Hank Bulla. I mean, that's an incredible class. I mean, where were you when you got the call that said, hey, Mo, you just got inducted to the Hall of Fame. We just selected you. I mean, where were you? And describe that moment.
Okay, first of all, the inductees, I got a chance to meet them. What a great group of inductees. Jenna Roble, I went to school at the same time she did. Got a chance to watch a lot of volleyball games.
Did you? Were you guys friends when you guys went to school?
My roommate, she was real good friends with my roommate, Thomas Kelly.
Okay,
gotcha. And Henry Bulla, I mean, great guy. I couldn't believe I was getting inducted with him. So many great things that he did here at Michigan State. He even said I could have played tight end, so I really like him.
Well, you went the right avenue, right?
Yeah. Ryan and Kip Miller, great hockey family. Those guys are great. Ryan came down. He's in the middle of training camp, and he got a chance to come back and head back home. So it was great to get inducted with those guys.
What goes through your head? Has it hit you yet that you are now in the Hall of Fame, Mo?
You know what? When Mark Hollis called me, I was in the airport. I had my bags and my phone started ringing. So I don't know if people understand how big Atlanta's airport is, but so many people around, and I grabbed my phone and Mark says, hey, Morris, you got some time? And I'm like, hey, what is Mark doing calling me?
Yeah. He never calls you.
No, and he said I got inducted, and immediately I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I started crying in the middle of the airport in front of a bunch of people, so they was kind of looking at me a little crazy.
Wow. Well, congratulations again, man. That's huge.
You.
That is huge. Give it up for that.
Wow.
All right. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the Flintstones. I got to talk about the Flintstones. I mean, you, Charlie Bell, Mateen, Antonio, I mean, you guys were such an unbelievable group of guys, and the way you guys played together, the chemistry you guys had, something that I didn't know was that the bond between you all started actually in elementary school. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Actually, my team, I know people hear the stories and things, but my first basketball game, competition-wise, 8-and-under league, I walk in the gym and the first person I see is Mateen out there on the court. And everybody knows how he is. He's on the court talking and playing hard defense. And I'm like, man, I'm only 7. Why are they playing this hard, man? You know?
7 years old.
7. But, you know, it was just Flint basketball. And You know, Charlie as well, he was a couple years behind me. We went to the same elementary school, and Antonio was at a different school, and we all played against each other. And but on the, in the afternoons, like the weekends, we would all play together in, you know, in little leagues and things like that. But I think that's where the camaraderie came. You know, we all had a great respect for each other, each other's games, and Antonio coming out was the biggest, with the best big man. So yeah. I'm playing, I mean, as a guard, you always want to play with the best big man. So my best friend is the best big man. So I'm going where he's going. And my team, we weren't going to let him go anywhere else either. And he's playing with the best small forward and best big man to come out of high school. So
right.
I think it was just, you know, looking back at those guys and see what we've done and to be with guys that I've grown up with is real special for me. And it's something that, man, it's just going to always be in my heart. And every time I think about it, I just start smiling.
Right. And all the way back to elementary school, who was the best at 7 years old?
Me.
You were the best. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to expect that, right? All right. Well, let's transition now. Now, Tom Izzo, I mean, Tom, just an unbelievable. He's going to go into the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's just a matter of time. He's unbelievable coach. Your coach back in 2000 when you guys won the championship. Talk about how Izzo has influenced your life.
Oh, man, coach. Oh, man, he has done so many things for me, not only in basketball, but in life, you know, teaching me how to be a man. And, you know, it's a big responsibility coming out as a young 17-year-old out of Flint, Michigan. Man, for him to show me that work ethic, give me that tough love at times, but he pat you on the back and told you, hey, you with us, we all right, you know. And, you know, that's big for me because, you know, he's been a great mentor. I can even call him right now. He'll drop everything to come see me, and just real, real special. Everything he gets, he deserves it. Because I remember being in the living room, him recruiting me, and he didn't even know how long he would be at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And he just said, "Hey, you know, we were trying to put together something to build and something to look back, not only 10, 20, 30 years ago, but 50, 100 years from now." Right. And that struck a chord with me and with all the guys. And I think that's why. You look back, you look and see, you know, how the recruits he gets, and every year, Final Four, because he's getting guys to buy into the program.
Right, so true. Give it up for that, guys. That's great. Great stuff. Now, Mo, you were drafted round one, 21st overall pick in 2000. I mean, David Stern's up there, and he calls your name, and you get drafted into the NBA. Was that possibly the biggest milestone in your life?
That was one of the biggest milestones, definitely, because you always dream as a player to walk across that podium, you know, and shake David Stern's hand, and to get a chance to do that. I had my, probably now maybe one of the ugliest suits I had on, but I thought it was nice. No, it wasn't from your collection.
The Blair Underwood collection. All right, go ahead.
But I had a, you know, blue suit on, blue pinstripes. It was big and... Man, oh.
You still have it? You still have
it?
I
do still have it.
I want to come check that suit out one day. Nice. But yeah, that was an incredible moment, though, right? I mean,
it was.
Wow.
It was. I mean, just everything goes so fast because, you know, here I am. We won a national championship. I get drafted to the NBA and I graduate from college all in within 3 months, two or three months. So there was a lot going on, but a great, great time.
Now, really quickly, Mo, I had no idea when I was doing some research. Now, you've played 371 straight games in the NBA. That is the most in NBA history as far as consecutive games played. 371. I want to talk about longevity in the NBA because you don't hear that nowadays in today's league. What is the key to longevity in playing in your playing career and in anybody's playing career in the NBA? Talk about that. I mean, because that's unbelievable. 371.
Well, first I had to say it's luck. But secondly,
luck, yeah. That's what it is.
Well, because you never know when you're going to get an injury. But the thing I try to do is take care of my body, eat right. On game day, don't eat any junk. You know, I know everybody wants to eat their Snickers and Reese's and stuff.
So like, guys do that in the NBA, they eat Snickers.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff.
I've seen guys eat McDonald's right before the game. And,
what?
And go out and score 30 points.
Wow. Yes. That's I wonder who that is. Okay.
But for me, I think, you know, I knew how important it was to take care of your body and you want to have longevity, eating right. Making sure you're exercising, making sure you're keeping your body strong during the season, too. Because mm-hmm. during the season, 82 games is a long time. So you have to lift weights and make sure you stay on a good program.
Now, Mo, you're 36 years old now. I got to ask you, are you done with the game of basketball?
I wouldn't say I'm done. You know, I took some time off to raise a family and understand what the things that are important. You know, and we'll see. I'll see how I feel in a few months, and I haven't made a decision.
So it's 50-50 right now? Is it 30, 70? We don't know. Okay, let me stop. I'm gonna stop poking at it. I'm gonna stop poking at it. All right, now let's talk about your family now. Now, a lot of people don't know that you actually have now two sets of twins.
Yes, I do.
Are you alive right now, brother? That's crazy. That's a lot, man. How are you doing with that? Give it up for that. That's unbelievable. Wow.
I'm team no sleep right now.
Team no sleep.
Team no sleep.
When you talk about that moment, I mean, not one, but two sets of twins.
Well, I think that's my proudest moments, to see my kids born. My second set of twins, I was in Toronto, and a girl called me and said, hey, well, she was trying to call me, and I was flying in from Toronto because I had an appearance there. And right as soon as I landed, I'm getting all these messages, where are you? I'm about to go into labor. So I would literally went from the plane in Miami to the hospital, and the babies were born 20 minutes later.
Wow.
Yeah, so I got back just in time, or I would have heard it, you know.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
That is huge. And really quickly, really briefly, what is your outlook for this Spartan basketball team this upcoming season? Because every preseason report, we talked about this before the show, every preseason report I've seen has Michigan State ranked either one or two.
I think it's great. I think one or two is great for those guys starting off the season because I've seen how hard they work. My team and I had a basketball camp this summer, and the whole team showed up. And it kind of remind me of us on that team camaraderie, spending time with each other. And every time I see those guys, I see more than one. I see almost all the whole team, and that's how we were doing things. We could call the walk-on and say, hey, let's go out to eat. Come on, let's go. And you know, and I think that's important because those relationships and things that you have with each other,
right,
it's gonna go way longer than basketball. But it's, you know, it's starting here at this, you know, this blueprint. So those guys to be ranked number two, I think they deserve it. They've worked hard, and I think they're gonna have a great season this year.
Yes, and we also do a pretty cool segment on Current Sports called The 12th Man. That's when our live studio audience gets to fire out questions for our guests that are a part of our live studio audience. And you can be a part of that live audience each and every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. during each and every taping of Current Sports TV just by signing up at WKAR.org. And the first question from Mo Pete came from Pete Kidd.
Morris, are you even the best college basketball player in your family?
No, I'm not. Actually, I had a sister who went undefeated in high school, won a state championship, went on to play at Alabama State, and she was a lot meaner than me. She was a lot meaner than me. She toughened me up growing up, so I owe a lot to her. I didn't have brothers growing up. I had sisters, so yeah, they were tougher than me.
Thanks a lot, Pete. All right, now on to Carol Welch.
I was wondering, you played for a number of teams. How do you feel when you're traded, and how soon can you mesh with the team, the new team that you're on?
How do I feel when I'm traded? Well, I end up getting traded towards the end of my career. I think at the beginning of my career, I probably would have been a little hurt, you know. But I think, trades happen a lot in the NBA, and I think going into it, you know that could happen. But I think it's hard a lot of times because you get adjusted to one city, you know, have an apartment and stuff, and then you have to move, and then you have to mesh with a new group of guys. But I think back in college, you know, guys taking roles, and we were talking about six men and accepting roles. And I think the people that do that are the people who really can really understand trades and different things like that. So it didn't really bother me towards the end of my career, but early in my career probably would.
It's got to be tough on the family too, right? I mean, having to move like that.
Yes, it is.
Jalen Bell, how you doing, Jalen?
Good, Al. How about you?
Great, man.
All right, so Mo, I was wondering, what's the better dunk? The throwdown over Ohio State's Ken Johnson or that nasty alley-oop against Iowa State?
Oh, man.
That's tough.
Oh, that's a tough one right there.
That's tough.
Oh, man. Man. I would have to say the Iowa State just for the simple fact, you know, what it stood for and us going to the Final Four. But that Ohio State game, we really wanted to beat them, and we had a big rivalry, and Ken Johnson was talking a lot of stuff that game. So that dunk felt kind of good.
Thanks a lot, Jalen. All right, and Shannon Thomas.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great.
Do you feel like your time at MSU as a sixth man prepared you for the NBA, and do you feel like kids kind of take that role in the bad way as being a team player?
Great question. I think being a sixth man, for me, it allowed me to understand different parts of the game and what's needed. I think that definitely being a sixth man, you know, you have to, because you have guys that want to start and want to average 30 points and, you know, do this. But I think team-wise, accepting a role, especially for me, it worked out. And I think that's what Coach Izzo, he talks to a lot of the guys about accepting the roles and getting people to buy in. And when you buy in and you get everybody to buy in and not worry about your stats or worry about how long you're going to be in the game, I think it does. It did help me get to where I wanted to. And I think it allowed scouts and things to see that you can accept the role, because you may not be playing well for in the NBA team, and they may want to bring somebody else in there. And a lot of guys can't handle that or handle a role, and I think that prepared me for the pros.
Thanks a lot, Shannon. Great question.
Yeah, great question.
Great question. All right, Kelsey Patrick. Kelsey.
Hello.
Hi.
In the 2000 title run, MSU faced deficits multiple times. What do you think really enabled the team to come back and overall win? Do you think it was Izzo, or do you think it was just the team working together, or a little bit of both?
Well, I think it was Izzo. He came and really creamed us during halftime. No, it was, I think those half times, I mean, I think a lot of times we look back at all the hard work that we put in, and it's just saying, you know what? We're not going to lose. You know, we just had that attitude, and at different times we were lucky to have different guys step up. But that definitely played an important role.
Nice question. Thank you, Kelsey. And last but not least, Sierra Williams. How you doing, Sierra?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Great.
Okay, well, when you played back at MSU, there were a few other guys that ended up going to the pros just like you did. Was it more so like the you and Mateen, you know, played together since elementary school, or was it like Tom Izzo had a big effect on it? Like, what was it that made everybody, not everybody, but most of you guys end up going to the pros?
I would have to say work ethic, buying into it. And a lot of these, pro coaches and scouts know you have talent, but they want to see how you can mesh with the team. What can you accept? Can you face adversity and different things like that? And I think with my team, all the things he went through and to get to where he was, and I mean, I saw that, and I saw him going where he was. And a lot of times, you know, you can either choose to, you know, get on that boat and really understand what it is you need to do to get to where you are, or you can sit back and, you know, and not do it. And I think that's one thing I really respect about Coach and respect about this program, is because they have a genuine love for each other. We don't want to let anybody fail. And we're going to push each other and give each other tough love, you know. And I think as a result, the guys that bought into it are the guys who were lucky enough to be able to play at the next level.
Yes, that was my interview with Mo Pete. Such a cool guy. Some great questions from the 12th man, our live audience there. So I always tell people this, you know, after that interview, he's just a really relaxed, down-to-earth, humble guy. And, you know, he made it really easy to do my job. So, Mo Pete, shout out to you. Again, if you want to catch that episode, you can go online, visit video.wkar.org, and click on the current sports link. And you can also watch it on your iPad by simply downloading the free PBS app. All right, well, when we come back, we will give you today's sports headlines, along with taking your calls on the game predictions concerning MSU and Notre Dame, U of M and UConn, and the Lions and Redskins. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And do you have a favorite Morris Peterson memory? Share that as well. Give us a call. Stay tuned. More current sports is coming right back.
Commuters in Los Angeles spend 60 hours a year in traffic. Is there a better way? I'm John Dankosky. Join me on Science Friday for a look at building mass transit in cities like LA, plus smartphone apps that track your commute and the weather patterns behind Colorado's flash floods. Will climate change make them worse? That's on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Science Friday, coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes
time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports again. As always, first of all, I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, thanks to everyone that tuned in to Current Sports TV last night and watched my sit-down with Morris Peterson. Such a great guy. Again, you can check out that episode on video.wkar.org or even get it on your iPad by downloading the free PBS app. Check it out right now. Download it. Watch it. It's a good show. Okay, we're also taking your predictions throughout today's show. MSU, they play Notre Dame tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. U of M and UConn, they have an 8 p.m. kickoff tomorrow. And the Lions and Redskins, they go at it on Sunday at 1 p.m. So give us your thoughts and prediction on that game. And, of course, I'm sure that most of Mid-Michigan will be their eyes will be directed at Connor Cook. Connor Cook, of course, he's getting the start tomorrow for the MSU football team. He's the guy. He's the starting guy. He's the guy behind center. And, of course, I think this will definitely be a measuring stick game to see where exactly this MSU football team is and if they're up to par. So, again, call us. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls on that and in any game that that's on your mind. And we'll definitely put you on the air and, you know, give us a score update on that, too. Give us a score prediction. We'll definitely take it. All right, well, let's dive into our current sports headlines for today. The Tigers. Yes, the Tigers. The Detroit Tigers. They topped the Seattle Mariners 5-4 in yesterday's afternoon game. Now, Detroit trailed 4-3 after Seattle's Dustin Ackley hit a 3-run homer in the fifth. But Prince Fielder's RBI single in the seventh tied it, and he scored from first when Victor Martinez doubled off of Charlie Furbish. Now, in the top of the fifth, Prince Fielder, he chased after a foul ball that dropped near the stands. Before returning to his position, he took what looked like a nacho from one of the fans near the front and ate it while receiving a pat on the back from another fan. It was probably the funniest moment of that entire game. A really, really cool moment. Prince Fielder, this is such a down-to-earth guy, fun guy. He says, quote, "I thought about dipping it in the cheese, but he might double dip. I don't know. I don't think he noticed it." That's what Fielder joked. That's a direct quote from Prince Fielder last night about that moment. Prince Fielder, again, such a cool guy. Now, Detroit pushed its AL Central lead to 6.5 games. Second place, Cleveland. They hosted Houston on Thursday night. Now, Torrey Hunter, he homer for the Tigers. Doug Fister, who's 13-9 now, he struck out 10 in 7 2/3 innings, and Drew Smiley got one out, and Joaquin Benoit, he pitched a perfect ninth for his 22nd save in 22 chances. Now, Detroit's shortstop, Jose Iglesias, I know many of you that were watching that game yesterday were sitting there watching this moment and definitely holding your breath, to say the least. I know I had to jump out and say, whoa, what was going on? Is he okay? But Jose, he left the game after being hit on the left hand by a pitch in the sixth inning. Now, it was just a bruise. It turned out it was just a bruise, and the x-rays were negative. Jose said afterwards that he definitely got lucky. So, Doug Fister, who pitched yesterday, he allowed 4 runs in 9 hits with 1 walk. Now, Detroit has 3 games left on this homestand, and the Tigers could clinch three straight AL Central titles as early as Saturday if enough results fall into place. Now, Detroit hosts the Chicago White Sox tonight, and right-handed pitcher Max Scherzer. Max, he's still looking for that 20th win. He's 19-3 right now. He faces right-handed pitcher Andre Rizzo. So the magic number, folks, is now 4 for the Detroit Tigers, and I really think they're going to get it, and it's going to happen very soon, I think. And I also think that Max is finally going to get that 20th win. So, again, they host Chicago tonight. The magic number is 4. Definitely looking forward to that. Another team in the MLB that has handled business is the Dodgers. That's right. The Dodgers have clinched the AL West. Now, the Arizona Diamondbacks were upset after roughly half of the players on the Los Angeles Dodgers celebrated clinching the NL West title on Thursday by jumping into the pool at Chase Field. This was hilarious to me. If you haven't seen the video, go YouTube this one. At the Los Angeles Dodgers team, after they clinched the AL West, they were just ecstatic and decided to just take a dip in the pool over at Chase Field. Now, Diamondbacks president and CEO Derek Hall said in a statement to the Arizona Republic, quote, "I could call it disrespectful and classless, but they don't have a beautiful pool at their own park and must have really wanted to see what one was like," end quote. So, Derek taking a direct shot at this team. Now, the Diamondbacks have asked the Dodgers to keep their players from returning to the field once the division clinching celebration began. After the Dodgers' 7-6 win, the team high-fived and gathered briefly at second base before it filed into the clubhouse where the champagne and beer flew. Now, a few minutes later, players began running toward the pool beyond the right center field wall and scaling it. So maybe it was the beer and the champagne after that win that, you know, said, hey, let's go take a dip in the pool. Funny stuff right there. So congrats to the Dodgers. Again, the L.A. Dodgers, they clinch the AL West. All right, and two sad stories here. And I also want to extend because I talked to MSU Athletic Communications before I hit the air during the show. And, of course, we reported a story yesterday concerning the MSU softball team. One of the assistant coaches was tragically died in a car accident on 96 Wednesday night. And Jackie Joseph, of course, the head coach of the MSU softball team, she's taking it pretty hard, ladies and gents. And we just want to extend our thoughts and prayers to Jackie Joseph, that MSU softball team and the entire MSU family, because they are certainly dealing with a tragic, sudden loss, to say the least. And Jackie, who was supposed to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, but the CMU Hall of Fame. Of course, she was a part of one historic team back in Central's history, softball team, that is. And the entire team is being inducted into the CMU Hall of Fame tonight. But Jackie won't be able to make it because she's just not in the celebratory mood, as anyone can understand, going through something like this. So our thoughts and prayers from Current Sports and the entire WKAR team are with Jackie and the MSU family. All right, and Turner Field. Authorities in Atlanta say that the death of a man who fell over a railing at Turner Field has been ruled a suicide. Investigators with the Fulton County Medical Examiner's Office said Thursday that they discussed the death of 30-year-old Ronald Lee Homer Jr. with his family last week before releasing their findings to the media. Police say Homer died after falling about 85 feet from a walkway on the fourth level of the baseball stadium after a rain delay on August 12th, a game between the Atlanta Braves and the Phillies. Police said Homer landed in the players' parking lot. Really sad stuff there. And locally, as far as high school football is concerned, a freshman football player for Ottawa Hills High School was seriously injured Thursday evening in a game at Hastings High School. According to Grand Rapids Public Schools spokesperson John Helmholt, the player was knocked unconscious after a tackle. He regained consciousness after a few minutes later and was airlifted. Yes, airlifted to a hospital. Helmholt said the student suffered an abdominal blow, not a head injury. So really, really sad stuff there. I really hope that football player is doing well. All right, Texas and Nick Saban. Interesting story here. Alabama coach Nick Saban insists that he's not going anywhere. Now, Nick Saban responded on his weekly radio show on Thursday night to an Associated Press report that his agent talked to a University of Texas regent about replacing coach Mack Brown. Now, the conversation reportedly happened a few days after the January 7th national championship game. Now, on the radio show, Saban said, "I don't know about any of this stuff or that particular situation." So Saban went on to say that he hasn't spoken to anyone about possibly becoming the coach over at Texas. Now, Saban said that he and his wife, Terry, are happy at Alabama and, quote, are quite frankly just too damn old to start all over someplace else, to be honest with you, end quote. That's a direct quote from Nick Saban. Now, current coach Mack Brown won the 2005 national title and lost to Saban's Alabama team in the 2010 championship game. Now, the Longhorns are 23-18 since that defeat, and Brown is certainly under fire after a dismal 1-2 start to the year. Okay, again, weekend games, MSU and Notre Dame, U of M and UConn, and of course Lions and Redskins. MSU versus Notre Dame at 3:30 on NBC tomorrow. U of M versus UConn at 8 p.m. on ABC and ESPN3, and the Lions and Redskins at 1 p.m. on Sunday on Fox. So if you got any game predictions, give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And last night, if you checked out Thursday Night Football, Andy Reid's return to Philly was certainly one he'll never forget. The former Eagles head coach saw his Kansas City Chiefs improve to 3-0. The Chiefs are undefeated at 3-0, folks, on the season with a 26-16 victory over Andy Reid's former team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Man, I tell you, that really surprised me when I was watching that game. But quarterback Alex Smith, he passed for 273 yards in the win. Now, the Eagles could only muster up 16 points in Chip Kelly's up-tempo offense despite LeSean McCoy's 158 yards and a touchdown. The Eagles, they just have a lot of holes defensively that I'm seeing. And the offense, Mike Vick, you know, a lot of missed targets there, a lot of guys dropping balls. That team is definitely searching for an identity, to say the least. And I wasn't surprised that the Chiefs beat them, but I am surprised that the Chiefs are undefeated. 3-0. How about the Andy Reid? He's something else. All right, just a quick tour championship update. Now, Henrik Stenson quickly, his quick start at East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta has him in the driver's seat of the tour championship. Now, thanks to 5 birdies and 6 holes on the front 9, Stenson finished his first round with a 6-under-64 and a 1-shot lead over Masters champion Adam Scott. He currently second and third in the FedEx Cup standings. If either Stenson or Scott were to win the event, they likely win the cup as well. Now, Tiger Woods, Stenson's partner in the opening round, didn't have such good luck. Woods struggled throughout the day and was the only player in the 30-man field without a birdie. Can you believe that? He finished with a 3-over-73. Well, I shouldn't even be asking, can you believe that? Because it's certainly believable. Tiger Woods has certainly not been the same in quite some time. But he finished with a 3-over-73. Woods is next to last in the standings, ahead of only 2013 PGA Championship winner Jason Duffner, who shot a 74. And Aaron, you said Tiger is what, 3-under? Tiger Woods is 3-under right now and even over par right now. So Tiger, maybe he can rally some magic, but I really don't see it happening. Tiger Woods, you know, my favorite athlete, man, but Tiger Woods has definitely struggled. You know, he hasn't won a major since 2008. I mean, I could go on and on, but Henrik Stenson. And Henrik, is he still in the lead, Aaron? I believe Henrik Stenson is still in the lead right now. He tees off at 2 p.m., so right after Current Sports, you can check out his outing today. So, all right, Mayweather and Alvarez. Floyd Money Mayweather's nickname is well-earned, I tell you. Showtime, Golden Boy Promotions, and Mayweather Promotions announced that Mayweather's recent bout with Saul Canelo Alvarez was the highest-grossing pay-per-view fight of all time, racking in a cool $150 million in revenue through $2.2 million pay-per-view purchases. Can you believe that you guys went out there and oh my gosh! It's almost, well, I can't say anything because I watched the fight too. Man, that's saying a lot. The previous record was set when Mayweather fought Golden Boy Promotions on Oscar De La Hoya in 2007. That was $136 million through $2.48 million pay-per-view buys. So while De La Hoya, his fight grossed $153 million when adjusted for inflation, the Alvarez fight may still surpass the pay-per-view buys record as well. As the final tally is still being calculated, the initial count in 2007 was just 2.18 million pay-per-view buys. So still the Mayweather and Oscar De La Hoya fight still holds the record for the most pay-per-view buys, But they're still counting, folks. They are still counting. Interesting stuff. And I tell you what, man, when you look at Mayweather, again, he just goes 12 and wins by a decision. This happens every single time you watch a Mayweather fight. But we still go out there and buy the fight and watch it. I think that's just really a testament to how much we miss boxing. We miss the days of Ali and Frazier. We miss Tyson. We miss Lennox Lewis. We miss those type of fights so bad that we're willing to go out and watch Floyd Money Mayweather, who is a great defensive fighter, don't get me wrong, but his fights are so boring. Let's be honest, folks, but we still go out there and buy it because I think we're just thirsty for boxing, to tell you the truth. Man, that's a lot of moolah. All right, well, anyway, those are your current sports headlines. If you want to comment on those, give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And we are also taking your calls on this weekend's game predictions. The MSU game, U of M, the Lions. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. And also don't go anywhere because when we come back, Alex Sharg is going to give us his high school player to watch for tonight's key matchup game, Everett versus Holt. That's going to be a great game. Keep it locked right here. Don't go anywhere. More current sports is coming right back.
To dream the impossible dream.
The Emmy Awards are this Sunday, and the HBO movie Behind the Candelabra has 15 nominations, including nominations for Michael Douglas, who plays Liberace, Matt Damon, who plays his young boyfriend, and Steven Soderbergh, who directed the film. It's just come out on DVD. We'll hear from Soderbergh on the next Fresh Air.
This is my quest.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished up our current sports headlines. If you want to comment on those, again, give us a call at 517-355-9527. And, of course, we're taking your calls on this weekend's game predictions. Again, MSU takes on Notre Dame at 3:30 p.m. on NBC. U of M versus UConn at 8 p.m. on ABC and ESPN3. And ESPN3 is not a channel. I believe ESPN3 is online. Watch it online. ESPN3 is not a channel, folks. I definitely got confused with that when they came out with ESPN3. And the Lions and Redskins play at 1 p.m. On Sunday on Fox. Give us your game predictions. 517-355-9527. I'm really just still stuck on this. Floyd Mayweather, the highest grossing fight in boxing pay-per-view history. That's all right. I'm joined by Matt Luckey and Alex Sharg. And Alex has a pretty cool segment for us. Tonight's big game in the world of high school football is Holt. Holt is 1-2. Don't let that record deceive you, though, because they placed two tough teams to start the season off. They are just coming off a win over a really just convincing win over Lansing Eastern this past Friday. And tonight they will play Everett High School. They haven't lost a regular season game in a couple of years. Yeah, a couple of years, folks. They are something else. Marcel Carruthers has done one extraordinary job. Al Slammer, he's a class act and has a pretty good team. They'll be going at it. So we're going to start a new segment each and every Friday when we pick our game of the week for high school football. And Alex is a pretty he's in love with Rivals. Rivals.com is his that's his Bible. You know, he wakes up reading Rivals.com. He knows all the ins and outs. Or at least a lot of the ins and outs when it comes to recruiting in high school. And he's going to give us a little local feel today when it comes to this Everett and Holt game. So this is Sharg's player to watch.
That's right. Thanks a lot, Al, for the introduction. Yeah. So each week at Current Sports, we will bring you one player out of the game of the week, and we will tell you a little bit about what his college future is, his skills, his strengths, and how we see it. But there's no better player, Al and Matt and listeners, to watch this week than Lucas Barner. Yes, that's right. The quarterback out of Lansing Everett is 5'10", so Russell Wilson kind of height, who has a very accurate long ball. If you watch his tapes, you could see him at the Midwest Pro-Am. Pretty good long ball. But the funny thing about Lucas Bonner at 5'10 is he's not afraid to go headfirst into linebackers and linemen. So props to Lucas Bonner for a 5'10 quarterback that's willing to scramble and take the hit. And it's something you definitely don't see from a lot of quarterbacks today. But again, like Al mentioned, that Everett has not lost a game in a couple of years. And they go to face Holt tonight, who has beaten Everett for the last 8 years, dating back to 2004, before last year. So last year was the first time that Everett beat Holt since 2004. So eight straight years of victories for Holt until last year. And Lucas Bonner is hoping to continue that tonight when Holt comes back to Everett. The funny thing also about this game is that Holt's going to come hungry, because that was a 8-year winning streak that was broken by Everett last year. And a lot of it was thanks to Lucas Bonner. So one thing you can't forget about Holt is they're being led by an amazing quarterback in Eric Potter and Romeo Dozier, who combined last week for the longest pass play of the year so far in the Capital Area Division. So a pretty good matchup overall between Holt and Lansing Everett. Lucas Bonner, if I had to compare him to one college player, I would compare him to Tate Forcier, to keep it more Michigan local. And when I say the state of Michigan local, not University of Michigan local, Tate Forcier, hailing from California, coming to the University of Michigan to play. He was very similar to Lucas Bonner in the fact that they're both pretty accurate for the most part. Tate Forcier really not afraid to take hits as well. I mean, if you remember Tate Forcier's troubles with Michigan, it was the fact that sometimes he would try to do a little too much. He'd kind of go, he'd scramble out of the pocket, and sometimes he would just take the hit, and at sometimes maybe he should have slid. So the same could maybe be said about Lucas Bonner, that when he gets to the college level, he may have to slide instead of taking hits with linebacker and lineman.
Gotta learn how to slide, right?
Gotta learn how to slide. Yes, that's right. So, but yes, Holt, like you said, playing Rockford, some tough competition. And Lucas Bonner, the player to watch from Current Sports this week.
Gotcha. Well, thanks a lot. That's Charge, player to watch. And I tell you what, I've watched Lucas Bonner over the years, you know, throughout his high school career. He's a special player. Does he have any colleges looking at him?
Right. So how it works usually is the players in the state of Michigan that go to a lot of camps, they're usually the ones that the colleges usually target early. So a lot of these larger D1 schools like Michigan and Michigan State, they're seeing most of the players that go to the camps, and that's how a lot of those players get recruited early. Now, players like Lucas Bonner and a lot of mid-Michigan prospects who haven't been to as many camps, they're the ones that are going to have to wait a little bit to see which of the D1 schools target. Then they go to the second round of D1 prospects, and then hopefully players like Lucas Bonner will get a look as he progresses through the season.
Do you think he will?
I think he'll get probably D2 looks, maybe some lower D1 MAC schools at the most. But The way I see it right now, it's pretty tough for Lucas to get looks, because he really hasn't been to too many camps. So
gotcha, and that's the key. Okay.
Right, well, but Lucas does not have a ranking from recruiting sites right now, and we'll see that ranking come out as we go through the later part of the year. So probably later October, folks, if you're listening, earlier November, we'll start to see it unfold for Lucas.
Gotcha. Well, there you have it. Sharks player to watch. If you want to nominate a Shark player to watch, go on our Facebook page, facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet me at AlMartinWKAR, or give us a call right here at the station, 517-355-9527. If you've been at a high school game and said, hey, that kid is good, we'll give us a name, and Alex will do his rivals.com thing and do some research, and we'll possibly highlight him here on the show. Okay, I believe we have John on line one. John, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, I've seen Lucas Bonner play. He is the real deal, so that's a great pick. Because he can definitely throw the ball around. So
yeah, he's pretty good.
Very good quarterback.
Definitely.
I was going to make a prediction for the Michigan State game. I think Notre Dame's going to win that game, unfortunately, somewhere in the neighborhood of 27-17.
Okay.
I just think that Connor Cook, first time on the road, I don't see him doing that great under pressure. I mean, I know he doesn't have to be spectacular, but I just think that environment is very intimidating for anyone that's never played in an environment like that. And I don't think that he has. And I just think that Michigan State's offense right now is sputtering a little too much. I mean, I know they had an explosion last week, but Notre Dame's no Youngstown State. So, like I said, around 27-17, I would say the Irish are going to win that game.
Gotcha. John, do you if you think the Connor's going to struggle, you think they're going to put in Maxwell?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, with his experience on the road, it would not surprise me at all to see Maxwell in the game. I just think that another guy with just about the same amount of experience or less is O'Connor. I just don't see them throwing him into the fire either if they're behind or, you know, or if Cook struggles. I just hopefully Cook doesn't struggle, but it wouldn't surprise me at all to see that just based on inexperience and the hostile environment that Notre Dame provides. I think Notre Dame is probably one of the hardest places to win in college football. So
yeah, that environment is something else. Hey, John, thanks. So Notre Dame 27-17. Thanks, John, for your prediction, man. Thanks a lot. All right. Well, I feel like when John said 27-17 Notre Dame, I think that's what my prediction was. I don't know.
Your prediction was 24-14.
Okay. I'm like three off on each one. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Well, again, if you have a prediction, give us a call. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Thanks a lot, John, for your call. He thinks that Notre Dame is going to take it 27-17 over MSU, and he thinks Connor Cook is going to play terrible. Matt, what you got for us, man? We have NFL, and I tell you what, in this pick'em this month, we're going at it. It's a battle right
now.
It's
a tight race.
Yeah.
We're all bunched together. 2 points separates first from last. So anything can happen.
I'm getting nervous now. I've never gotten nervous during pick'ems, but now I'm getting nervous. I got to start doing some research now and hitting the net.
It's going to be a tense weekend, I think, if these picks fall out how they may. Should we just get right into it?
Let's go right into it, man.
Okay, so obviously we missed Eagles-Chiefs.
Yeah.
Should have done that Monday.
We should have.
That Thursday NFL game.
It sneaks up on you.
Throws you off. Now that it's right off the bat.
Right.
I'm sure people forgot to set their fantasy lineups last night.
That's the biggest thing for me. I look at my fantasy team like, whoa, what's going on here?
It's a pain.
It is.
I mean, it's September. I should not have to check my fantasy team on a Wednesday. This is ridiculous.
It's like you only have, because you have Monday Night Football, you only got 2 days to set your lineup.
Right.
That's it. Come on.
It's like I'm recovering from last week.
Right. Give me some grieving time, you know?
Too much turnover in fantasy football these days. All right. So let's just go right with the Lions at the Redskins. Who you got?
No scores, just
picking
games.
Them. Too many games to pick to do the scores.
Very
too.
True. I'm going to go with the Lions.
Just no score?
No score.
No score.
All right. Well, I'm going to go Red Tails.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, that's shocking.
This is another place the Lions haven't won in forever.
Exactly.
It's been a while.
That's what I'm saying.
And it happened in Arizona. Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Lions, too, though. The Redskins' pass defense is
terrible.
Awful.
Terrible.
And we are very good.
Yeah.
Let's go with the Bengals at home versus the Packers.
Give me Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I will go with Aaron, too.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I love Matt's feet. He's always saying, oh, man, this is a tough one here.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Pack as well.
Gotcha.
All right, Cowboys home to the Rams.
Oh, man. The Rams are terrible. Give me the Cowboys. Give me my Cowboys, man. How about them Cowboys?
All right, so Dallas. I'm going to take St. Louis.
Okay, you're taking
Sam Bradford looks pretty
good. They're
1-1
right now, I think.
Yeah, Tavon Austin played well. I think they'll be all right.
Okay.
Vikings at home versus the Browns.
I'll let you go first on that one, Alan.
Okay. I will go with the Browns on this one.
You're going with the Browns on that one. Yeah. Browns are 0-2.
Browns are 0-2 and starting Brian Hoyer.
I know. Well, I think,
and they just let go of Trent
Rich. I think they're going to send a message by saying Trent Rich.
Okay, I'm going
send
with the
a message that they want to be terrible.
No.
But the Vikings are also 0-2 when you think about it. But that's a different 0-2, I think.
Yeah.
Give me the Vikes. Give me the Vikes.
Okay. So you're Cleveland. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Alex gonna be singing.
Titans at home versus the Chargers.
I'm gonna go with they're both 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the Chargers.
Okay.
Give me Phillip Rivers.
I'm gonna go with the Chargers too.
Okay. I'm gonna take the Titans at home. Give me Tennessee. Okay.
Okay.
Saints at home versus the Cards.
Alex?
Saints.
I'm going with the Saints as well. Drew Brees, come on, baby. Yep. I need you. Fantasy.
At home in the dome. I hope he throws a lot of touchdowns to Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
I need a lot of those.
There you go.
Okay. Patriots at home versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You know, looking at the Patriots, Tom Brady was so frustrated last. Did you guys see him last week?
A couple weeks now. Just hasn't been up to expectations.
He really doesn't know those receivers like that. There's talks about Welker coming back now.
Really?
Yeah, there's talks about him, even though, you know, they're thinking about playing him this week. I'm going to go with the Pats, though. Give me the Pats.
Okay.
He's lost a lot of weight, too, I heard.
Yeah. I'll take the Pats, too.
Okay. And that makes three of us, because I am also taking the Patriots. Okay, Carolina at home versus Eli and the Giants.
Oh, I have Cam Newton as my quarterback for the current sports league. Mm-hmm. I'm going against Aaron. But I'm going to go against Cam Newton on this pick, and I'm going to go all the way with it, man.
Yeah, I'm going to take Giants.
Yeah, give me the Giants.
Giants, Giants are 0-2.
Yeah.
They need a win.
They're due for one, I think.
I'm going to take them as well. Yep.
Yeah.
Ravens versus Houston.
Give me
it's
Houston.
Tough game.
That is a tough game. Give me Houston, though.
Alex?
Yeah, the Raiders just not the Ravens just not the same.
No, they're not, man. They lost a lot of key components.
But I'm going to take the Ravens.
Okay.
All right. Some risky picks here, Alex.
You know, Texans are a better team.
Yeah.
Ravens, really tough to beat at home.
They are.
I'm going to
take.
They're
1-1.
Gosh. I'm going to take Baltimore as well.
Okay. I'm rolling solo with the Texans.
Okay. Okay. Dolphins versus the Falcons.
Man, the Dolphins are 2-0. Can you believe that? 2-0. Falcons 1-1 right now. Give me Tannehill, man. I'm rolling with him.
Okay, Miami.
Yes, give me Miami.
All right, I'm taking the Falcons.
ATL. Okay. All right. I am going to take. I hate picking last. I hate just picking in general. It's
not
fun.
It's tough. It's tough.
I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
As well,
I'm rolling solo on that.
Jets versus the Bills.
Give me the. Give me the Bills.
Okay.
I was going to go with the Jets, but man.
Alex, who you got?
I'll take the Jets.
Okay.
I like E.J. Manuel.
This one I actually picked. I'm taking the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Okay. 49ers at home versus the Colts.
I think Colin Kaepernick shakes off that loss to the Seahawks last week.
Niners.
Yep, that's three of us.
Yep.
Sweep for San Francisco. This one, I don't even know if I need to ask you guys. Seattle at home versus the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Seattle, come on, man.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yep. That would be a heck of an upset pick if you made it.
And then Steelers,
and no
too.
One's going to.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no one's going.
Okay, so Sunday Night Football, I believe, Steelers versus the Bears.
Bears. The Pittsburgh just looks awful this year. Yeah. Sorry, DeAndre Carter, but your Steelers look like crap.
Too.
They are bad, man.
That's three of us going with the Bears. And then last and maybe least, the Broncos versus the Raiders.
Man, Terrell Pryor versus Peyton Manning.
Peyton, man. I'm taking Peyton.
Broncos are, they're rolling.
All right, Broncos
Give me
for
the Broncos.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, so most of us picked the same on just about all of them.
Alex took some risky picks. I'm rolling solo with the Dolphins. Yeah, I think one other pick, but interesting stuff. So we'll see. This is a big week.
Very big week.
We are in a gridlock right now. Ah, it's going to be interesting. Interesting stuff here.
It's a dead heat.
Man, so all right, 3 minutes left. Quick reflection Fridays. A great week. A great week here. Had some pretty interesting guests. Audrey Dahlgren. We had Mo Pete, of course, as we just played. He was on Current Sports TV. What was your guys' favorite story, favorite guest of the week? Really quickly, guys.
Yeah, for me, Audrey Dahlgren, because Women in Sports Media today, as even here at Michigan State, is starting to form up pretty nicely. It's important, and it's something that's a trend that probably will be more prevalent in the next 10 years than maybe now. But yeah, I mean, good insight from Audrey, and I'm sure we'll have more Women in Sports Media on the show later.
Yeah, definitely. Audrey, she definitely gave some great insight as to, you know, the stance of particularly when it comes to women broadcasters, you know, and how. You know, I just told the story about the producer I ran into when I used to work at Six, and he told me, "Hey, we strictly hire. One of the biggest things is we're just looking at how you look." You know, and that's got to be so tough for a woman coming into this industry and having to deal with that stigma. And you know, Audrey gave some great insight on how she's dealt with it, how others that she knows in the business deal with it. And you know, that was definitely a great moment. And of course, Mo Pete, he even showed me his 2014 Range Rover. Dude's balling, man. Mo Pete, such a down to earth guy. And really, really cool to meet him and have him on the show. He's great. So
I'm gonna go with the rugby interview.
Yeah, that was interesting too, wasn't it?
Just because the sheer logistics of the interview with your Australian counterpart having to be up at 1 a.m. in order to give the interview, but he sounded fresh. He was friendly. He was informative. Great interview. Better than I could do at 1 a.m. So
it was actually off. 3 a.m. there.
3 a.m.
3 a.m. It was 3 a.m. and he woke up for us.
Even worse.
Man.
Way to go, guy.
Yeah, he was great. He was great. All right, well, quickly, what are we watching this weekend? Breaking Bad, 2 episodes left. I'll be checking out that. I may even buy GTA 5. I don't know.
That's what I'm going to be working on.
You're going to buy GTA 5?
Oh, no, my roommate has it. I'm just going to play it.
Oh, man. I got to get it.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. No money down. Yeah. Great. I'm going to be watching Breaking Bad. Definitely over the Emmys, that's for sure.
Emmys are this weekend. I had no idea. Wow. Interesting. All right. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky. Engineer Aaron Young. Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Mo Pete Morris Peterson for joining me this week. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic weekend. Be safe and be easy, people.